Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com and our study in Luke chapter 7 verses 11 through 18 titled, There Came a Fear on All. If you have any questions, comments, or prayer requests, send those by email to BBFOhio@protonmail.com. You can also mail your letter along with any check or money order contributions to support this ministry to Bible Believers Fellowship, P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio, 43085. Donations can also be made at bbfohio.com using the PayPal donation button. We now begin our study in Luke chapter 7, verses 11 through 18, titled, There Came a Fear on All. This is part one of two.
And before we get into the Bible study, current events update. And today we have a problem called liberal Democrats who seem to be at war with America. And now I'm going to tell you, not all Democrats. And we have a neighbor that's a Democrat, and he's not anything like that, but he's just, a lot of times it's because they're in a union or something and they're attached to that party. The important thing is you vote for the right person, not what party you're in. I'm just being, try to be very transparent. I'm a registered Republican. But I want to tell you, most Republicans make me sick. And I don't wave the Republican Party flag. I wave the flag of the person who's going to stand up for what's right. And so I just want to make that clear, especially we have some visitors and others who are online watching that aren't there normally. I'm not endorsing the opposite of liberal Democrats or as far as parties. I'm endorsing the opposite of the liberal ideology. That's what I'm endorsing. Now, here's plain language. People don't like to be talked to plainly, but I'm going to talk to you plainly. These people are baby-murdering sodomites and their allies. That's what the Bible says. It's not Gregology, it's Bible. That they believe in the right to murder unborn children, and most of these people believe in doing so right up to the time of and after the baby is born. Infanticide. Murder. We don't hate people who are what they call same-sex relationships, homosexual, whatever term the world made up. But the Bible says they're sodomites. We don't hate them. We love them enough to tell them the truth. We love them enough to call on them to repent. And if they repent toward God with faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ, believing how that Christ died for their sins, was buried, and rose again the third day, they will be saved like any other sinner. And that's our message. Those people who accommodate their sin and don't preach the truth to them, they hate them. They have no desire to help them. They just want to take advantage of them, use them for what they're worth. That's the reality. But these folks are attacking America's founders, and they say they're attacking them on quote-unquote moral grounds. One of the reasons, they'll say, is because some of the founding fathers were slave owners. But if you look at the numbers, you'll find a lot of them were not. As a matter of fact, one of the founding fathers, Benjamin Franklin, was a founding member of the abolitionist, the first abolitionist movement in America. They don't tell you that. And what they also won't tell you, that even some of the slave owners said they wanted to end slavery. But they were in a situation where, number one, financially it would bankrupt them. And number two, the slaves themselves didn't have anywhere to go. They wanted to end slavery, but not throw them to the lions. Amen. And there's so much more to this that we can't get into this morning. But these people attacking the founders on moral grounds when they're a bunch of baby killers. And they're out destroying businesses and looting. And they say Black Lives Matter. Do you know the majority of the businesses being destroyed are black-owned businesses? Do you know the majority, almost all the people killed during these riots have been black? Yep. So I'm just calling on everybody to check in. Amen. Do your own research. Base it on fact of what's going on in this country. Proverbs 17:15 says, "He that justifieth the wicked, and he that condemneth the just, even they both are abomination to the Lord." Amen. And that's why you will not hear me justify some politician based on his party one way or the other. You won't hear me justify preachers. Amen. I mean, I get in trouble because I'm honest with people and tell you, you better watch out. The majority of preachers in America are a bunch of crooks. Amen. Right. You better be very careful who you listen to because they're false teachers. Now, I'm not the only game in town, but the majority of preachers in this country are a disgrace. Jesus described them as hirelings. Yep. And so we're living in a day where you've got to check in. You've got to think for yourself or you're going to be in trouble. Amen. This generation is prepped for the Antichrist. That's what all this is about. People are prepped and ready for the Antichrist. Yep. Look over, before we get into our Luke study, I want to look at Proverbs chapter 30. Proverbs chapter 30, beginning of verse 11. And boy, you talk about nailing down this generation, what we're dealing with today. I've dealt with this with my own children. My parents dealt with this with me until I got saved. But look at verse 11. We're going to read verses 11 through 14. Read it with me. "There is a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes and yet is not washed from their filthiness. There is a generation, oh, how lofty are their eyes and their eyelids are lifted up. There is a generation whose teeth are as swords and their jaw teeth as knives, to devour the poor from off the earth and the needy from among men." Bingo. Yep. Amen. That is Black Lives Matter. Yep. That is the liberal ideology right there. Amen. And what we need in America is, I'm going to buy one and I'm going to offer it to men in this country. I'm going to go to a school supply and I'm going to buy a spine. And I'm going to offer it to men in this country. I'd start with my own Republican congressman, Steve Stivers. Yep. Bunch of spineless cowards. Yep. Imagine, just as an example, I just want to give you this example. We spend tax money recruiting people of color. Did you hear that? Mm-hmm. We spend tax money recruiting people of color. The premier organization in America that claims to speak for all black people, and they don't, is called the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People. Now, this is why I'm telling you, it doesn't have anything to do with race. It's about control. Yeah. Just like the Sodomites demand you speak the way they tell you, you say what they tell you, even though they call each other queer and everything all the time. But if you do it, they're going to try to get you in trouble. Yeah. It's control. Same thing. These liberals call each other colored, their National Association for the Advancement of Colored People, and then when a white man, who's a senator, refers to the colored people in reference to the COVID-19 thing, his words were offensive. Oh, what a racist comment to make. Demanding he be removed from the Senate. And then the Senate president here in Ohio then condemns what he said and apologizes on behalf of the Senate to those who were offended by the comment. He's a coward. Yeah. What you say to these people who want to play that game with you is, listen, I'm not a racist. I'm calling you what you call yourself. Don't tell me not to use your language. You're the racist and you're trying to control me. See, what we need are some men with spine. Amen. We just have a bunch of coward hirelings in the Ohio Senate and the U.S. Senate and everywhere you talk about. These guys don't provide leadership. Amen. They blasted Obama for leading from behind. They are the exact same thing. Yep. Hypocrites. And preachers and Christians like Dan Cathy, CEO of Chick-fil-A. Yeah. He's a disgrace. Shame on him. Amen. He's a coward. He's afraid he might have lost some business. Yeah. He wasn't the original. His dad was the one with the spine. It's evidently it skips a generation. Yep. Amen. Yep. Amen. Yep. So that's what the message of the 4th of July is to Americans, and especially the men. Get a spine. Our founders founded this country and had spine. When they signed that Declaration of Independence, they were signing their death warrant. Yeah. Right. If they had lost that Revolutionary War, they would have been hung publicly and probably disemboweled. They lost everything. You go read the history of the signers of the Declaration, and that you'll find they didn't cash in. Yeah. But you know, we're going to talk about it in our message now. But what? There's good fear and there's bad fear. I did that to wake you up. But that's your current events update. I have to admit that Jenny does all the work. I just show up and eat. Yeah. Just so everyone knows. Yeah, Johnny?
Is it also worth noting some of the founding fathers weren't even Christian.
Yeah, yeah.
And yet they were willing to make that stand.
Yeah, they had more courage than a lot of Christians today. That's right. So, as I said in our study, beginning of verse 11, we're titling this, "There Came a Fear on All." And I'll tell you ahead of time, some of you have been told that as a Christian you shouldn't fear anything at any time, and that's a lie. The Bible says there is fear, but it's only to be placed properly. And there's certain things you shouldn't fear. So we're going to talk about that this morning. Beginning of verse 11, we're going to read, I didn't put the end there, we're going to read through verse 18. So what I'm going to do is read the odd and you join in on the even, and we'll read through 11 through 18. And it came to pass the day after that he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and much people. Now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, and said unto her, "Weep not." And he came and touched the bier, and they that bare him stood still, and he said, "Young man, I say unto thee, arise." And he that was dead sat up and began to speak, and he delivered him to his mother. And there came a fear on all, and they glorified God, saying, "That a great prophet is risen up among us, and that God hath visited his people." And this rumor of him went forth throughout all Judea and throughout all the region round about. And the disciples of John showed him of all these things. God's people say amen. Amen. So the context, we just are continuing our study, chapter 7. And Jesus had just healed the Gentile servant of a Gentile centurion. And I just repeat one thing from last week's study, as I urge you to get familiar with the rules and laws. We're still under Mosaic law here. And so the idea that the Jewish Messiah would show compassion like this on a Gentile servant of a Gentile centurion was earth-shaking to a lot of people. And verse 11, he says, "And it came to pass the day after that he went into the city called Nain." You can call it Nain if you want to. But it's a little-known city. I want to ask for a show of hands, but I bet some of you probably have never even heard of that city, even though you've read the book of Luke, you just didn't pay attention to it.
And that's the way I'll admit a lot of these cities in the Bible are. So they're in Capernaum. We showed you the map last week, and they move south of Capernaum. So Capernaum, if you, most of you are familiar with the Bible, Sea of Galilee, and also called the Sea of Tiberias, and the Lake of Gennesaret is another. But the Sea of Galilee, Capernaum, was up on the northwest corner of Galilee. And that's where we were in our last study. And now they've moved down, and if you look, the city of Nazareth is about right here on the map. And you know that's where Jesus grew up, right? Amen. Well, we're a little south of Nazareth now. And there you'll see N-A-I-N, right at the bottom of the screen. And that city is where this is going to take place. And he says many of his disciples went with him and much people. So he's got quite a entourage with him as he's traveling. We're going to see that change at some point. Right now they're seeing all the good things and all the exciting things, you know, and they're following Jesus. But when the going gets tough, most people get going. And we'll see that later on. And I just include this little picture because it was a really tiny little village. And today we'd say they probably didn't even have a red light in it. You know, it's some places are called a one light town, a one stop light town, or something like that. Yeah, this is even. It's a good thing they were traveling by donkey back then, or they would have just drove right past it and not even noticed it. there's three or four in that picture there, and there were probably some more on the edges there, but that's what the whole little town was like. So, is a little house off the plain. but before moving on, I've been asked to mention this, so I'm going to right here, because I just used a map I got off of my software. It's called Sword Searcher. And some of you asked. Now, there are free software out there if you don't want to spend any money. But this one's very affordable. It's not like $100 or anything like that. I can't remember the price. But you can actually download a free evaluation download. And I don't personally know, but I know of the man who spent years putting this together, Brandon Staggs, and he's a good Bible-believing Christian. So that's another thing, is I try not to support people who are just using the Bible to make money. And Brandon Staggs is a good Christian man who is doing this as a service and a ministry. So we continue in verse 12. He says, "Now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother." Think of that. She was a widow, and now she loses her only son. How sad. And it says, "Much people of the city was with her." Now, we know that there's a lot of weeping and wailing going on because it says so in the next verse, but also we just know from that era, he probably, you would hear in the distance as you're approaching the city, "Oh, no." You'd hear that in the background and the wail, "Oh," you know, and you'd think, "Oh, someone's died."
They hired people to do that.
They did hire, but there were also loved ones. So it was a mix.
Well, yeah.
But it would have been a sad thing. Then you walk up on it and find out she was a widow. She'd already buried her husband, and now her only son. So verse 13 then says, "And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said unto her, Weep not." And that is a picture of Jesus that I'm telling you, we talked about in Sunday school, but the other religions, other religious leaders, very little compassion involved. And now the followers, you'll find followers of false religion who are do-gooders and they have compassion. But as far as the leaders, the people who founded these, think of the ones in our lifetime that have risen up and how they just abused people. Jim Jones, Joseph Smith, who started the Mormon Church, he was a sex freak. And he just had as many women as he could have. And he had wives and concubines, old and young. The youngest, I think, was 12 years old. And then he built a whole religion on that now with millions of followers. And he, Jim Jones took all those people down to Guyana, and the ones that wouldn't drink his Kool-Aid, he shot them to death. And then he shot a congressman and news reporters and other people. And he, David Koresh, you know, the Heaven's Gate car, you remember that? They all got their Nike tennis shoes and purple outfits and drank Kool-Aid and died. And it was some guy that looked like my favorite Martian who was the head of the cult. And he talked him into believing that by committing suicide, they were going to be beamed up to a ship. Yeah. You know the reality? I believe all of them were Christ rejectors, by the way. In the interviews I saw, they rejected the gospel. You know why they woke up? They didn't wake up in a spaceship. They woke up and lifted up their eyes in hell, like the rich man we're going to see in a few chapters here in Luke. So the compassion of Jesus is now on full display. And that's something. Jesus never took advantage of any woman sexually. And Jesus doesn't require you to die. He died in your place. Amen. Exact opposite of religious leaders, for the most part. So you know that we do not go to a funeral and tell those grieving not to weep unless you can also do what we're about to see. And there are well-meaning spiritual people who walk into a funeral home and they walk right up to people saying, "Now you shouldn't be weeping. We know they're saved and we know they're in heaven, so there's nothing to cry about." That's just hogwash. Amen. You know, I always point to this one thing. What we're about to read is one example, but Jesus knew he's about to raise Lazarus from the dead and he still wept. Yes. So if Jesus, God in flesh, who knows he's about to raise the man from the dead, is still moved to tears by the death of Lazarus, then don't go around trying to sound spiritual and lecturing people when they weep. The Bible doesn't say we don't mourn. It says we don't mourn as those without hope. What do you mean? We mourn with hope. And so next time you go to a funeral, I don't know this COVID thing, if they're even allowing that yet, but go and comfort people. Don't try to sound spiritual. So in verses 14-15, it says, "And he came and touched the bier." Some of you said what? Bier. "And they that bear him..." You notice I'm not telling them they're wrong, because they're different from the way I pronounce it. There's different ways to pronounce the same word. You say tomato, I say tomato. You say potato, and I say tater. Amen? Amen. But look, it says he touched... It's another name for casket. "And they that bare him stood still. And he said, Young man, I say unto thee, arise. Do not try this at home." This isn't given to you as instructions. This is telling you what Jesus did. God in flesh did this. That's why he could look at the woman and say, "Weep not." Why? Because he's about to turn her weeping into shouting and into joy. That's why in this life, weep. If you feel like weeping, weep. You can carry that too far, you know, within reason. But weep, because this life, as they say, the old people used to say, this life is a veil of tears. But man, there's going to be a great getting up morning. Amen. There's coming a moment, a twinkling of an eye at the last trump. The dead will rise first, then we which are alive remain will join them in the air. We are going to be shouting with praise. This isn't a big deal, but I always hear these prophecy teachers, they're always saying, "Oh, when the archangel blows his trump." Read it carefully. The archangel says we'll hear his voice and the trump of God. And he's going to shout, "Come up hither." And then when we're there, it'll all be us shouting. And I just wonder what it's going to be like. All these believers all around the world being caught up in the air. Is it going to sound like a thunderstorm up there to people on earth? Amen. What is all the ruckus? And then, phew, gone. I better stop. I get talking about that stuff, man. I love it. But verse 15, it says, "And he that was dead sat up and began to speak." Now, don't kid me. If you're at a funeral, and I were able to walk up and touch that thing and say, you know, "Be healed," and he sat up, you'd go running out of here. He wouldn't believe it. But Jesus did it. And I love this last sentence. This is the one that gets me a little emotional. Because I've done the funerals. How much I would love to reach down and grab that child and raise that child and walked over to his mother. Remember the stories in Scripture where this happened?
Yes.
Giving the little boy, "My head, my head." Well, he's a young man, but he's still her boy.
Yes.
She just said that. You know what she says? "We'll watch football," and we're like a big hit, and I'm like, "Yeah!" And she's like, "Oh, I hope he's not hurt. That's somebody's baby." you think about this event, this moment for this mother, having a child that she's been mourning for, child that was dead, and now Jesus says, "And he delivered him to his mother." It's the power when Jesus speaks. Jesus speaks, you better look out and be on the right side of that speaking.
Amen.
The right side of that word. 1 Timothy 4:32, "And they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power." His word was with power. Look over Revelation 19. Oh, I was just kind of referring to this a moment ago, and I get to go back. Surprising myself sometimes. I forgot to put this in here. Revelation 19. I was just thinking of it. Verse 11. Remember, the word of his power is the way it's phrased a lot of times. And it is the power of his words. In verse 11, "And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war." You say, horses don't fly. They do when God makes them fly.
Amen.
You know, all these skeptics, all the virgin birth, that's impossible. Not with God, it's not.
No.
Resurrection, oh, come on. Not with God. Mm-hmm. Nothing is difficult for God. He wants to make a horse fly. Maybe in the millennial kingdom, just for a joke, he'll make pigs fly. We had fun with that. Look, it says in verse 12, it says, "His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself." Now read verse 13. "And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God." Why would a man who is God, but he's a man, be called the Word, whenever words are not the same as people, right? Wrong. Go study your own DNA. You are nothing but information on that level. You get down to that DNA level, subatomic level, and you are information. Think of that. How did you get here? Jesus spoke. Go back to Genesis 1. "And God said." And science doesn't refute that. That's what they claim, that, you know, once upon a time there was nothing. And it exploded. That's what the science books teach. And what happened? Information. Explosion of information. And according to how that information came together and attached together and formed itself and everything, somehow or other...